Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, for the best part of a decade, the band Noah and the Whale sold millions of records and toured around the world. But since their split in 2015, the frontman and main songwriter Charlie Finck has continued making music, but stretched this into other areas too. Cover My Tracks is the title of Charlie's first solo album. It's also the name of his first theatre production that he co-wrote, currently being staged in Ontivy Arc until Saturday. Charlie, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
How's it going?
Very good, thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
When you were in the band, had you any notions to become involved in the theatre?
No, not really. I'd always sort of been a big fan of theatre and seen a lot of things, but never thought it would be sort of a medium I'd write in. And then it was almost around the time that we were sort of calling it a day, I got an email from the Old Vic Theatre in London asking me to come and write some music for a show they were doing, which is an adaptation of the Dr. Seuss book, The Lorax. And did that show and just fell in love with the process of writing for theatre. And then the same creative team behind The Lorax are the creative team behind Cover My Tracks, which is David Gregg and Max Webster.
Mm. And so in putting this together, you didn't, as I understand, you didn't record an album and then say, let's make a play out of this. The two things happened in parallel.
Yes, it was sort of a series of conversations, I guess, between me and David. First thing was sort of figuring out a story. And then once we built the story, sort of trying to arrange songs around that. And then once the songs were written, that's the sort of the script was then filled in around it. And it sort of evolved a lot as it went along, obviously. But
yeah, and the story is a story about a missing songwriter or somebody who wants to be a great songwriter and
yes,
then somehow disappears.
And I don't know where that inspiration come from.
God knows, yeah.
It's a guy whose band has just split up, essentially.
Yeah, okay.
And he is someone who sort of struggles with this idea of, you know, we live in this time where there is just so much, we have this thing in our pocket that's like the most entertaining thing that's ever existed.
Yeah.
And we can listen to
you are referring to your phone. Yes.
My left pocket.
I could see some of the men in the audience anyway.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And you have access to, you know, the entire 20th century of music. Every song ever recorded is in your pocket. And so, you know, how do you do something original? How do you make something that, you know, new? And so it's this guy who sort of struggles with this decision and then sort of meets this young and sort of energetic and creative room service attendant. And they then form a band and sort of go off, and he eventually disappears, and it's her trying to find him and sort of using his songs as a way to try and figure out where he's gone.
Mm, and it, so in the production, are you on stage?
Yes, so there's two people on stage, and it's for the show we're doing here, it's me and Rona Morrison, an actress, and I do the majority of sort of singing, and she does the majority of the sort of storytelling, and then there are a few scenes between us.
Right, and how did you find the acting bit of it?
pretty nerve-wracking. It's, you know, something I'd never done before. And I suppose, you know, the sort of, it's more rooted in sort of storytelling than straight up scenes between us. There's no sort of sets. It's a very bare stage. And so that makes it a bit easier, I think.
Mm. Is the, now, obviously, this must be informed a bit from your own story. Is that a difficult transition? That, you know, you had this hugely successful band, you're going for 10 years, then it comes to an end, then you must think, what am I going to do next? But you know, you're still a young man, you must be what, 13 now?
Good turning, yeah, 13, yeah. 14 very soon. I guess the thing, it was sort of the same thing the characters go through, which is this idea of, you know, I guess I'm someone who loves the album as a thing, you know, and we sort of live in this time where the album doesn't have the same value it did when I was a youngster, when I was 6 or 7. Mm. You know, that we sort of tend to sort of listen to songs now rather than a full record, and as someone who just loves albums, sort of thinking, well, what's the way to make 10 songs feel like they need to be glued together?
Mm.
And one way for that was theatre felt like the way to do it, and the thing that keeps them together is story. And it sort of, you know, it was just an exciting way to sort of keep doing the, you know, similar things to what I've been doing, but do it in a new way, and not feel like I'm repeating myself.
So is this a concept album?
the dangerous concept album. No, I think it is. And there's a weird sort of revival of the concept album at the moment, I think. You know, there's that Beyoncé record, Lemonade, which is obviously a very clear influence on this album.
Yeah, or vice versa.
Exactly. And I think that's partly a sort of reaction to, you know, music going one way and people also wanting to go the other way, you know.
But there still are people out there, presumably, who want to buy albums and want to buy albums where one song is connected to the other
song. Well, and there's this sort of the renaissance of the vinyl is a sort of a thing now, which I think is this idea of wanting to have something tangible, some connection to an album. Yeah.
Yeah. So does that mean, though, that if you can you go and just perform the album songs?
So at the
by
moment,
themselves.
I think in my mind, this set of songs are so sort of tied to the show that for now the show is the only way I'm performing them. But who knows down the line?
Okay, all right. So that's you've kind of almost deliberately limited yourself then.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, a little bit.
but it is released as an album.
That's right. Yeah, but there is the songs exist in slightly different states on the album and in the show. So there's sort of little decisions you make or we made to make a song work on an album and then sort of works differently in the show.
Right, okay. And so, in the sense that somebody is just listening to the album that mightn't have seen the show.
Yeah, I think you can... I hope you can listen to the album and sort of enjoy it as its own thing. But then you might sort of get an extra, you know, level to it if you see the show, maybe.
Right. So then if somebody buys the album on the sleeve notes, do you kind of have to explain what the story is to a degree?
Well, we have it at the moment, but what we want to do, and I hope we will eventually, is to have some version that exists, which is the sort of the audio from the show as well as the album, so you could listen to it sort of like an audio book or a podcast or something. So you can hear the album in the show and hear it in its context.
Is it difficult to sell music? In that, because of this thing in our pocket, there's also this assumption that you don't really have to pay for any of this stuff anymore.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not trying to... I'm someone who listens to music exactly like that. I just listen to, you know, I have a streaming service or whatever, where, you know, and it's amazing. It's like the best thing to think that you can listen to anything. It's incredible. But that, you know, and there's this thing in the show that's... I know David, the writer, is sort of what he feels, is that in addition to that, in some way... Music, there's some level in which music only really exists when it's sung live and embodied. That in its sort of, you know, core, there's something about being seeing a live performance, like we just saw a beautiful one just now, that you sort of get something different than when you just at home listening to a record.
It's true, but you know, you got to put bread on the table.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And is it difficult to do that nowadays?
I think it's definitely harder. I think, you know, sort of it's not the 90s anymore, but, you know, I think there's still, there's lots of good things about making music now, which is that it's very easy to distribute music and it's very easy to tour and
for
perform
free.
Live. Yeah. Very easy to give stuff away. Yeah.
It's very difficult. And so for you then, are you kind of not, are you something else other than a musician anymore?
If someone asks me what I do, I tell them I'm a musician still.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess that is basically what I do.
Yeah, but then when you're finished in the Tyviark on Saturday and you go home, are you going home to record more music or are you going home to write another show?
So the next thing I'm doing is writing for another theatre show. And then I'm actually also having a baby when I get home in a couple of months.
You're keeping your figure very well.
Yeah, I know.
Is it your first?
So it's a scientific miracle. Yeah.
Is it your first?
It is, yeah.
Do you know what it's going to be?
It's going to be a little boy, yeah.
And have you, how nervous are you?
Not nervous at all.
Yeah. Have you done all the classes and all that kind
of
stuff?
We're actually about to start those classes, yeah. So,
have you made decisions about what kind of birth it's going to be? Because some people go for the I want whales in the bath at home kind of thing.
No, I think we want to go for the hard drugs as quickly as possible.
Probably a wise choice. Yeah. Yeah. Are you practicing already by not sleeping for extended periods of time?
No, exactly. I think that's Galway Festival is good for that, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It's also actually useful for training your gag response. That'll come in handy too later on, believe you me. Charlie, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us. That's still running Tyviark until Saturday. We're going to take a break after that. Movies and booze. Moncrief.
with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.